I am not going to be denied, and I will check out of this world trying if necessary. But God has burdened my heart for that gifting. I want that gift of healing. I want to see. And so I've told God, you know, when they tore the roof off of that house and lowered that paralytic in front of Jesus because they couldn't get in through the door because the crowd was too big. So they climbed up on the roof and busted off the roof and dropped them in through the ceiling. It said when Jesus saw their faith, he healed them, forgave them and healed them. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm ruined for this. It's your fault. And so I'm just going to pray for folk. And if you want your name magnified, you're just going to have to, when you see my faith, you're just going to have to come through and do something. Because I'm stepping out in faith, I'm going to do it. And I pray that when you see my faith, you'll honor that and allow your name to be magnified in the eyes of those I'm praying for. So I already went, this week at the gym, I prayed for two people. Walked in the door, receptionist was right there. I said, how you doing? She said, well, I got this cold, I'm sick, la, 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 la. Can I pray for you? If you want. She's like looking at the computer. She's not even looking at me. She's doing the computer. So I prayed for her. You know, what the heck? She thanked me for it. You know, continued typing, but she's like, thank you. Okay, we'll work out. I was sitting there a few minutes later, 20 minutes later at the machine, and this guy comes over who is an inspiration to me. The dude is ripped, man. I mean, this guy is chiseled. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. No, it wasn't Bill. He's another guy. guy named Ed. Hadn't seen him in a long time. I was like, wow, Ed, how you doing, man? I hadn't seen you in a while. He says, yeah, I know, man. I've been out. I just started getting back the other day. I was in a motorcycle accident. I said, wow, man, that's something. I used to handle motorcycle accidents. He said, well, you know, I don't ride my motorcycle on the street anymore. I just ride it on the racetrack. I race motorcycles. Yeah. And I wrecked. He said, now, I've wrecked many times before, but this time, I know how to wreck. It's okay. I'm generally okay. But this time, I landed on my shoulder and fractured my clavicle off and broke three ribs. I was like, wow. He's an adrenaline junkie. Yeah. He said, you know, I tried skydiving. He says, but the problem with skydiving, there's an adrenaline rush when you first leap out of the plane. But as you're going down, you only hit 120 terminal velocity. He says, on my bike, we do 150 average speed. So, you know, jumping out of the plane was like, eh, you know, whatever. I'm like, dude, give me some of that. But I said, you know, you race motorcycles. Do you know Art Lohman? How many of you guys know Art Lohman? Christian, yeah, he works with youth a lot. He's a state trooper. He moved to Florida. Wonderful guy. He says, Art Lohman. Yeah, I know Art Lohman. Man, we used to race together. It was so cool. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. We're talking, blah, 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 blah. Finally said, Ed, man, can I pray for you? I didn't know what he would say. But he looked up with his big grin. He says, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. You can pray for me. Now, you figure, he's got a metal plate in his shoulder. Okay, he's waiting for the calcium to grow from a bone, from one bone over to the other. And, you know, so I'm like, well, Bill Johnson prays for a guy with plates in their body. I'm going to pray for this guy too. So I went over and I laid my hands on him and I prayed for him. Do you know he leaped up off of that thing and started waving his arm around wildly in the air when the power of God came on him and he was picking up weights and saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. No. No, that's an exaggeration. Basically, I prayed for the guy. Very pleasant experience. And, you know, I prayed the best prayer I knew. And he looked up and thanked me for that and smiled broadly. And we continued our conversation. But who knows? You know, maybe when he went home, God healed him gloriously. He doesn't have my phone number, so how would I know? But I told the Lord, I said, God, when you see my faith, I just pray that you would honor that. Because I'm just going to heal. I'm going to pray for folk. And you're just going to have to get used to it because I'm going to do it. Praise God. That's my personal one. What about you? Maybe you have a burden like that and you're thinking, well, you know, if the Holy Spirit chooses what gifts he's going to give to the people, who am I to tell him what gift he's to give to me? Why should I seek it out? What's the sense in searching? Why should I have somebody lay hands on me? If the Holy Spirit's the one who chooses, what if he doesn't want to give me that gift? After all, you might ask, doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians 12:11? But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Maybe he just doesn't want to give it to me. Well, maybe. He does have the final say. But praise God, you can ask. You can ask. Praise God. In fact, Scripture tells us we can ask. It tells us very strongly that we ought to ask and we ought to seek it. 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul said, but earnestly desire the best gifts. If you've got it, you have no reason to desire it. So he's talking about something you ain't got yet. But he says it's okay. Yes, earnestly desire it. Fervently, passionately desire the best gifts. And by best gifts, he means those that build up the church or those that build up and edify people the most, because love is supposed to be our motivation. Love is the greatest gift of all. And we are given gifts so that we can bless and minister other people with our gifts. 1 Corinthians 4:1, two chapters later, he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That God would give you a word to speak to somebody that will lay their heart bare in front of them so that they can get saved or healed or delivered or whatever God wants to do in their life. God says that builds people up. He says, if you ain't got it, pursue it, desire it. And he says, while you're at it, you know, chef's recommendation, man, this stuff is great. Prophesy. What the heck? You go in a restaurant, you say, what's good? What do you recommend? Paul says, I recommend prophecy. You know, but how many of us walk into a restaurant and the waitress says, hi, what can I get for you? And you're like, why should I tell you? You're not going to cook it. I was going to talk to the chef, man. What do I need a middleman for? I'm going to the chef. Chef wants to give it to me, fine. If he doesn't, fine. But why should I tell you? You probably want a tip, don't you? You probably want money for it, don't you? I knew it. You're just in it for the money. Yeah. You know, why should I get somebody else? Why can't I just go to the Holy Spirit? Because that's the way that God operates. It's through his body. It's relational. It's from one person to another person imparting what they have. That's why you have a waitress. You want to go to the chef? Good luck. No, I'm kidding. Hey, what do you want? I'm busy. No, bad analogy. Anyway. So we're told to seek them earnestly, fervently, passionately, the best gifts. God tells us to pursue them, to ask for them, to pray for them, to seek them out. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue do what? Pray that he may interpret it. In other words, you got the gift of tongues. Pray for the interpretation of tongues. Get some more. Fill your plate. We'll make more. Praise God. God might just decide to give you that gift, particularly if you knock on the door. He says ask, which means to keep on asking. Knock. Asking you will receive. Knock, it will be open to you. Seek and you will find. Every time you hear a sermon on that, they tell you that the tense of that means to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeing, wear him out. I'm not going, God. I'm sorry. I'm going to wrestle you all night. You might have to put my hip out of joint, but if you give me the gift of healing, I'll lay hands on my hip and I'll get healed. Praise God. If there is a gift that he has laid on your heart and you've checked your motives and you know it's out of love, you're not just seeking vainglory, you're not just trying to hang a little ministry mantle out there so people can admire you. If you genuinely hunger to be able to minister certain gifts for the glory of Christ and for the love of other people, man, pursue them diligently. Do not rest until you lay a hold of them. And as long as God is using other people to impart those gifts, start looking for other people that have that gift. Go seek them out. You may know somebody that excels in that gift. Ask them to pray for you. If you know someone that maybe, you know, maybe gift of evangelism, I'll pray for you. I think I might have it. It seems to be working pretty good. I still got some growing to do, but I think God gave something to me there. It amazes me how comfortable I am talking to people out on the street. I should be scared to death because that's what I used to be. And now it flows. Praise God. I'll pray for you. Love to pray for you. Maybe there's a gift of healing. I don't have that one yet. My track record still got a lot more in the loss column than in the win column, but I'm looking for God to equal the scales and to throw them out of balance the other direction. But suppose somebody comes in the area that excels in that gift, maybe has an extraordinary gift of healing. Find out where they're going to be. Go to that place. Seek them out personally and ask them to lay hands on you and impart that gifting to you. It's worth the trip. Man, Dennis. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't say they didn't have the gift either. But the fact that they were elders, I mean, if they were praying for him to have a gift of leadership, the fact that they were already elders kind of implies that it's very likely. I would, you know what? Here's how I would approach it, Dennis. Honestly, from my heart, I'd get somebody, anybody, if you can find somebody to pray for you for that gift, I would get in line. I'd say, here I am, pray for me. And if you don't get it strong enough that time, go find somebody else. We went down to see Todd Bentley. And, you know, I mean, I was more curious than anything. He doesn't impress me all that. I'm grateful for what God is doing through him. But I've always been greatly impressed by a guy named Michael Brown. I've got so many of his books. He's my hero, boy. Guess who was three rows in front of me when I went down to North Carolina? Michael Brown. He got in the prayer line. I got right behind him. When we both got through, I was like, okay, that's cool. Michael. Michael Brown, hi, I'm Todd D'Souza. Would you pray for me? I want revival. He writes extensively on revival. Brother, I want revival. Would you? And he prayed for that. Revival will come to Queenstown. Well, we got a little bit. I guess we're just going to have to keep growing in that. And if I find somebody else happen to be walking down the street that I know is big in that, I'm going to get them to pray for me too. Dave, all right, you can pray for me. Yeah.
Yeah, not everybody gets on the train. And it's all about going to see that first gift and see that thing about how that gift, where those gifts are originated and getting those gifts and children. And it ends up with this boy getting that first gift, which was a bell that he could hear ring.
Hmm. Yes. Yes. I was going to bring, I meant to bring a book and read a testimony to you guys. Bill Johnson talks about when he went to a John Wimber seminar and found out and really discovered this ministry about healing and had the hands laid on him to have that anointing for that. And he said, we got back to church. We started praying for folk. And we started seeing folk get healed. We started seeing God do miraculous healings. The problem was we also saw many people who didn't get healed. And so we got discouraged. And we got fearful. And so we just gradually let it go slide by the side until we weren't doing it anymore. And he said, one day I came around and I realized how far we'd gotten away and how much I wanted that thing back. how much I wanted that restored. He said, I promise God, Lord, if you will give that back to me, I promise I will not let anything stop me. I will pursue that and lay a hold of that and with everything that is in me, and I will embrace that gift if you will just restore that to me. And God did restore it to him. And now he sees just amazing things going on, healings and deliverances and miracles. And yes, sometimes people don't get healed. But you know what? He says that doesn't discourage him. It just drives him more to become more anointed, more gifted, more sensitive to the works of God, more understanding. And he may never see 100% in his lifetime, but until the day he checks out, he's going to pursue it with every fiber of his being. Rather than letting that discourage us, we should let that drive us on just to grow that much more in Christ and learn how to be that much more effective in those ministries. I remember when I I'm droning on here, please forgive me. I remember when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that little Catholic Bible study after I got saved. A man was praying the most boring opening prayer I ever heard in my life. Dear God, please bless the service. Let your Holy Spirit. And when he said Holy Spirit, man, power exploded inside of me. I wanted to laugh out loud and shout and cry, but I was too afraid of what people might think because I was a new Christian and nobody else was laughing or crying or shouting. I figured they'd throw me out. It was my first day there. So I clenched my teeth as hard as I could because I just wanted to explode in joy until it gradually wore off. And I have regretted that day ever since. It breaks my heart, and I said, God, if you ever see fit to pour that power out on me like you did that day, I promise, I don't care who's around, I will let you have your way. And I want to see that flow through me like it did that day so I can give it to other people. God, if you ever see fit to do that to me again, I'll never let you down. It's been 30 years. But I'm going to keep knocking. They're going to have to carry me dead off the doorstep of the kingdom, man. Because I'm going to knock on that door till he lets me in. Praise God. I'll shut up now. Next time I go to Peru, man, I want nurses running out of the hospital in joyful fear because they don't understand what in the world is happening with all these kids getting healed suddenly in front of their very eyes. I want to see tumors disappear. I want to see flesh made whole. I want to see developmentally disabled suddenly get that look, that glint of understanding in their eyes. I want kids who can't walk to walk. I want to see people who, as we saw in the burn unit, people who had been burned by fire, I want to see their flesh made whole as the power of God comes over them when we lay hands on them. It's happening out in the world. It's there for us to lay a hold of. And it's worth everything in my life to see it happen. I don't know about you. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Man. Don't settle for second best, man. Let God open your mind and give you a vision as to what He can do. Amen? Praise God.